What was the last thing you heard?
March, April on the truck.
Wow, you missed the whole speech.
I did.
Yeah, we missed everything.
Okay, I got a letter from VRA, and they're asking for a follow-up on our water and wastewater projects that we have going. I got with Land Group and gave them an update on it, and basically we're waiting for a couple of the contractors that over in Washington County working right now to get back toward it later this month into next month, so they can anticipate a better bid for the project. And also they ask about the obligation MOU from Wise County. I got with Karen Mullins, a county attorney, and she's under the impression it was already taken care of. So she did some research on it. Then I got a letter, or an email, keep saying letter, but an email from Mr. Hatfield. And it had a what I thought was a work in progress MOU. So I forwarded that to Will, and Will, I'll let you pick that up at your turn if you want to. As far as where that's going.
And I did look at it and read it over. I can forward that to you all in order for you all to look at, because that's obviously an extremely important document to the town, dealing with the rights and obligations between the town and the county. At first glance, there are some modifications that were made to it. Jimmy had asked who made those modifications. If that was from Karen's original, then Mike Hatfield made changes. And it's my understanding that the marked-up version in red has changes from Cody McElroy from PSA, and also the person who they've been dealing with VRA, with Virginia Retirement. Or not Virginia Retirement, but the VRA for the wastewater fund.
The Virginia Resource Authority.
What now?
Virginia Resource Authority.
Yeah, Virginia Resource Authority. And so we've got that. I can forward to you all to look at. As far as the changes, it really didn't change much of the document itself. But at the same time, I really want you all to look at it, feel comfortable with it before, you know, obviously anything signed off on, period, because it is an important document, important obligation, and that sort of thing. So I can forward that to you all this evening. I'll do that.
That'd be good.
I had not viewed it until after Jimmy had sent that to me, but I did look at it this evening. The one question I had for him that we really didn't know is, it says it lists as an exhibit the customers and the outline of who, if the obligation was not repaid, what customers would be turned over. And I think that's in the outline as far as in the second attachment, but I really wasn't sure. So I'd like you all to look at that, and then if I need to seek clarification, I'd be happy to.
Thanks, sir. Okay.
Thank you, Will. Also, just let everybody know, too, we've been working on the phone systems today. Should be up and ready tomorrow. We were down a little bit today, maybe half an hour without phone service, but obviously we're back up, and then tomorrow they're going to come in and finish the installation and also the cameras, getting that up and going. Yes. Right now I can't think of anything else. I do request for a closed session this afternoon, or after the meeting.
Okay.
Deals with contracts.
Hey, Jimmy.
Sir.
I'm just thinking of something here before we started the meeting. Do we have anything that up Meadow Street that we lack to do on the sidewalk deal?
Getting it off the sidewalk.
We've moved some out of there. I've not got to the point where I can issue letters to everybody up in there and explain to them that the walls belong to the property owners. But we have gone through and moved some larger pieces out.
Well, I'd like to get that taken care of before we have more walls. And maybe everybody that has a wall, including myself, you can send me one too, but everybody that has a wall that adjoins a town sidewalk, that they should be told that those are theirs, and that in the event that they fall on the sidewalk, they need to remove it, or we will actually help them remove it if they have to repair their own wall. Set off that sidewalk. There's too many kids that live up and down that street.
Okay. I'm still working on it.
It done before school started, but that didn't happen.
Nope.
So, we need to get that letter done, and there's not a whole lot of us, I don't think, even up Meadow Street that has those walls. Behind the church, I think, is some walls.
So you want to go around to each and every house that has a wall and send this letter?
Yep.
Oh, my.
All right. It's going to be a little while, but I'll take care of it.
I think that it would be the right way to do that, because I think that puts it out there that they know, you know, like there's that one there that's been falling for a long time. It hasn't fallen yet. And if she doesn't fix that pretty soon, that house is pretty close to the edge. Is that up there behind the Baptist church?
Behind RJ?
Yeah. They had cones up there for a while.
Yeah, I know where you're talking about.
You're talking about the one that's behind Bobby Collins, aren't you?
That's right. It's behind Bobby Collins' house.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so before that one falls, I mean, I'd like her or whoever owns that to know that is their wall.
So you're saying that anybody that has a wall that adjoins a town sidewalk.
And like I said, I don't think there's that many of them.
Well,
there's probably more than you think, Sharon, because, I mean, that would include myself, my next-door neighbor closest to downtown.
Right.
Yeah, we both got a retaining wall there, which, you know, I agree. I mean, it's my wall.
Right. But a lot of other
but
people don't realize.
But that's where it stops.
You know, if it falls on the sidewalk, you want the town to come help get it off of our sidewalk, and you'd be responsible for fixing the wall, or just leave it laying on the sidewalk.
Yeah, you know, I think for safety reasons, guys, and I mean, you know, I'm going back to Meadow Street right now, is, you know, most likely if it's on the sidewalk and it's not taken up, you know, I think we do have an obligation to remove that for safety of our citizens. But I think as far as, you know, redoing any type of a wall or anything of that nature,
no.
You know, that definitely would be up to the property owner.
And that's why we were going to do the letter, because they're thinking that when they move that off of the sidewalk, there's about a foot of dirt that is going to shift in their yard. It's not going to affect their house, but it will affect some of their yard, which, I mean, it's not that hard for them to ease that down. Now, if mine falls, you know, I got no choice but fix it, or my house will fall out in the road.
Yeah.
So I think that they should be notified before we move their sidewalk, their wall off of our sidewalk, that we need that gone. It's been laying there over a year. How that needs to get done.
Jess adding it to his list here.
Now, just out of curiosity and for reference purposes, Devonta, you don't have a wall in front of your house, correct? Okay, I didn't think you did. So, you know, anyone that would have, like, you know, no retaining wall, just a, you know, a gradual slope or, you know, a large slope from, you know, their property onto either a town street or whatever, you know, we would not have to go out and, I think, notify those people.
That retaining wall that's up on 72 and Front Street.
See, that would be a question on me is who did that? VDOT put that up there when they did the road.
Where's that at?
Okay, where's that one at?
Right past Bobby Collins' house.
Yeah, the big one.
My question was, is that what you just said, the State Department put it up due to the road being or coming through.
Okay.
But it's starting to crack and the handrails are starting to come out from under it.
It's right there when you come down off of the
lane. Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Red light.
Yeah. Will, who would bear the responsibility for that since, you know, the landowner, you know, I don't know if they were reimbursed way back then or what, you know, that wall going in there and part of their property going out. But would VDOT be responsible for that, having, you know, put that in, or what? You there, Will?
Yes. I think it depends on what action was taken after VDOT put that in. If they turned that back over to the landowner, or whether they assumed responsibility for that.
Okay.
We might should check on that if it's cracking and got problems.
Yeah, I can get with Jimmy and see what area that is, and then we can research it for as needed from there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If it is cracking and it's going to be a future problem in the near future, I'd rather try to get it worked on, if it's VDOT, sooner rather than later.
I can definitely understand that.
Well, would that fall under the same? Yeah, would that fall under the same guidelines as if they had a bridge structure or something like that?
You know, I think that it probably very well could. I mean, that it would make sense that it would.
It would, too. It really would. I mean, you know, obviously keeping the roadway clear, I mean, now that's something that, you know, may need to be looked at.
Yeah, I agree. But yes, I think that would make sense.
Anything else on the walls, guys? Walls, guys, that's hard to say. Okay, anything else, Jimmy?
That's all I can think of right now. If I could, I could probably put a notice in the paper about any property within the town limits that has a retaining wall. If any question or a concern to contact Town Hall.
I think it'd probably be better if it was given individual notices to property owners. Just my opinion, because I'm afraid that if we just put a notice in the paper, I mean, we could do a notice as well in the paper, but I just don't think you're really gaining a whole lot from that if you've already given the other notice. And I just don't think that really funds would need to be expended just for that purpose.
Okay. Sounds good. That's all I can think of at the moment, unless somebody got questions.
Okay. Any questions?
Going twice?
No.
Hello?
Do you have questions? Yes, do you have questions? We can hear you now.
Fine, but can you hear me?
Yes.
You broke up, but you're back now.
Okay. Mine was Jimmy Jeff of Livingston, that when you're out reading meters, if you could make a notation on the houses that have the walls and maybe go ahead and get form letter made and just put in resident of 209 Grand Avenue, this is to notify you that the town of Coburn and VDOT are not responsible for your retainer walls.
Actually, he and I was just talking about that.
That, to me, would be the easiest because it's all, he's already out at every house.
Yep, that's what we said. Sounds good.
Well, the only concern, though, guys, I would have is, you know, leaving a notice there as opposed to mailing someone a notice.
Well, it would have to be through the landowner, so a lot of those homes may be rental, but with the address, at least I can get try to GIS it back to get the actual owners of the property.
Yeah, and real question for you. Do those notifications to the landowners themselves for these walls, does that need to go out by certified mail?
You know, if we're worried about whether they've received them and have notice, I would think that, you know, it would under that circumstance. However, to me, it's not as much whether it's the town doing its due diligence to show that we're trying to put everybody on notice, and whether it's sent certified mail and they sign for it, or whether it's sent certified and they never sign for it. You know, I mean, obviously, if it was sent certified, it would probably be better, because if somebody later claims they didn't get it, you know, we've got proof of signature. But at the end of the day, I think the real key on that, you know, just the notifications, and that way we can work on trying to get that, you know, fixed up and safe for the kids walking through there. Okay.
I think doing the letter, just regular mail, posted on our Facebook page and posted in somewhere on our website.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that would be appropriate as far as that goes. And then, you know, obviously, whether just leaving the notice there or whether it's by mail, I mean, it does need to go to the property owner. So whichever, I don't know how many rentals are up through there, but to me, it's just the best calculated method in order to put that notice out there in order to be able to move forward.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yep. Yeah, Sharon, the one that you were talking about in particular, that is a, it's not a rental, but it's the resident is not the landowner. Sorry, we would have to go to the, you know, the landowner.
Well, I'd just like to see it off the sidewalk. That one. And then just notify all the rest of us.
Okay, additional questions,
yeah.
Mr. Williams?
And I think if we've got one that's certain problems right now, I think that obviously needs to be more than a form letter, and it just be like, you know, specify the danger that's currently there, and that it's for instance, it's on the town sidewalk, and that we're going to take such and such action unless they do prior and give a certain date.
I mean, we could charge them for moving it.
Yeah, we absolutely could. I think we for sure could under our ordinance, but I think we'd had the maintenance ordinance that we've had in the past that's been cited. But I also think that in order to charge them for it, you'd have to give them prior notice and an opportunity to do it themselves before we could go back up and charge them for it.
Right.
right now. I just would like it off the sidewalk. Anything from about the picnic area?
Same thing as last time. They're waiting for whoever's above their echelon there to give them direction on what they need to do as far as charging or releasing it to us.
Right.
And she said it could take a while to do, but that's all she can give me right now.
Right. Timing-wise, it's not that far off to where people would want to start using it. I mean, if we had to do any work, there's not a lot of time left.
Yeah, I just hate to have to do the work, and then they say, well, we still got to, if we charge anybody, we still have to give the money to them. I hate to do that.
It's not in our interest to take over that way.
I won't take it that way.
So kind of in a holding pattern, waiting to get more direction for what the forestry department wants to do.
Any additional questions? Hey, one thing, Jimmy, you might want to go ahead and start doing is putting together a letter that's going to go out to all of our citizens about the trash pickup and, you know, the guidelines on how trash will be picked up, that the can, you know, belongs to the town. We're furnishing your can. You can buy additional cans, you know, XYZ amount of money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Roger that.
And what I might suggest, you know, you're doing is get in touch with town manager of Appalachia. I think they've already put together a program for that. And, you know, we may be able to mirror that program and, you know, have everything taken care of very easily.
Okay.
Any additional questions? All right, not hearing any, I'm going to move on. Next item on the agenda is Public Works, Mr. Livingston.
Good rainy evening, everybody.
Good evening.
What I got tonight is that we made a hookup in Banner. We went and unstopped the sewer line on Columbus Street. We covered the fire hydrants up in Banner and Lincoln Street again. We roped off the bridge on Lincoln Street. We repaired a leak on Henderson Street. As you know, we got all the Christmas decorations all down now. We changed the lights out at the post office that was burnt out. We went and jetted the sewer line on Lincoln Street. We jetted the sewer line on Driftfield Drive. And we went and tried to find a valve that we've been looking for on 72, but we never did find it. We did 64 work orders. And that's all I have for tonight.
Questions, Mr. Livingston?
Does Chris Mullins know where that cutoff is on 72?
I got a hold of him and with Cody, and they thought that it was where we was looking at, but we never did find. We found a cutoff valve, but it was broken all up. Where somebody just must have threw it over and covered it up, but it wasn't it.
Jeff, if they go back to that problem several years back, I don't think I was on council then, at the big leak we had there at the railroad track where it took forever to get the water turned off?
Yep. But we, after we repaired that leak right there at that railroad track where we had where the water line went up under the railroad track, we had installed a new valve on the other side of the railroad track just in case that problem happens again, that we can turn it off.
Okay. additional questions, Mr. Livingston? Okay, one last question, Jeff. In the park itself, if you're looking out my front door directly into the park, and I've not walked over to check it out, it looks like there's about 40 little black mounds of dirt on top of the grass. Is that what that is?
I haven't been paying attention, but I can check it out tomorrow for you.
I'm wondering if it's mounds of dirt, it's been kind of accumulating over the last probably 3 or 4 weeks. I'm wondering if the same opportunity we had with the rocks on the picnic table that time.
I do not know, but I know that, you know, they was going over in the creek and then bringing them rocks and stuff and putting them on the picnic tables. For what reason, I don't know.
Who knows? And, you know, if this is little mounds of dirt, which it looks like it is, I don't know what the method or madness is.
Could be rodent.
Not really. I mean, there's too big of a uniform mound. It looks like somebody's taken like a, not a bucket, but like a little trough and gotten mud and just put it on the ground. And it's all confined to that one little area around that tree and the picnic or the park bench.
Hmm.
It's weird. I don't know. Okay. Any additional questions? Okay. Hearing none, we're going to move on along. Lane Group, Chris Mullins, seems not on here tonight. Do you have anything additional from him, Mr. Williams?
Nothing additional to what we already spoke of.
Okay. Any questions from anyone? Okay, next item on the agenda is Treasurer Clerk, Mrs. Sharp.
Tonight's report, I've included a copy of our total accounts payable due, $1,598. Our interim accounts payables were $97,373.26. January 11th's electronic regular meeting minutes will be distributed along with February 8th's council packets. Our posted cash balance as of Friday, January the 22nd, was $247,479.64. We had $140,455.93 in outstanding checks, less our accounts payable due in the amount of $1,598, which left a balance of $105,425.71. Since I prepared those reports, we've had two additional deposits. Friday's deposit was $16,206.95, and today's deposit was $1,442.56 for a combined total cash availability of $123,075.22. In your report, you'll find copies of the total cash availability report for the month of January, current, and the cash comparison report. And since I didn't put the BB&T, Shell, and Valero statements in the regular meeting minutes reports, I put them in for tonight.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Mrs. Sharp?
On our taxes that we're going to post in the paper, when do we have to put the notification in that we're going to do it? 2 weeks before?
The answer. We got to do it 30 days before posting the names. So what we plan on doing, the delinquent notices go out February the 1st, and they has deadline of February the 28th. So the first week of March, I'm going to put a notice of the possibility of having names and addresses placed into the paper. And then the first week of March is, I mean, April is when we'll actually put the list of names.
Yeah, we had already discussed that in our November 9th council meeting.
Right. I remember now, I just couldn't remember the date.
Yeah.
I didn't look at my notes that far back.
On those notes, we actually, I think it was maybe 2 week notice, but after reviewing the code section and everything, we were required to do 30 days. So it kind of postponed in April just a little bit.
Okay. So we could tell them that we're doing it the 1st of March, that all unpaid, all delinquent taxes will be posted the first week of April.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
I need to check. Okay. Okay, any additional questions? Okay, hearing none, next item on the agenda is the police department. Is Chief Butch with us yet?
I am.
Hello there.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. Good evening.
I don't have anything really new to report other than we're leaving one of our police officers to another local police department. I was going to talk to you all about that and, you know, just the same old stuff about trying to get these officers more money, and if the town council would allow me and Jimmy to get together to try to work a pay scale out that would be more adequate. I feel like they're underpaid, and I feel like we should try to do better if we can. And we have to start thinking about our cars, the car situation. My car right now, I'm going to have to put it in the shop. I'm not sure what's wrong with it, but, you know, it's a 2013 model, and, you know, it's got like close to 75,000 miles on it, and it's, Fredo got a, possibly have a wrong head gasket, but I'm not going to know until I put it in the shop and talk to David down the shop, and then he said it would be something that we'd have to get Ford to look at. And we're having some other issues with some other cars, but we're going to be sinking some money into these cars. And I feel like it's about time that we're able to work out some type of lease program, or you know, you all can decide how you want to do it when the time comes. It's something we need to take a look at in the near future, I think. So, I know that's bad news. It's not what you all want to hear.
I know we had talked about doing like a rotation on these vehicles. That way we don't have them all going at the same time.
So, well, we're limited as far as the vehicles we have. You know, if we had a bigger fleet, that would be possible.
Well, it kind of goes.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I do know I've rotated as far as what ones I drive. I try to keep the miles down on the black car when I was driving it. Then I switched over when the miles started getting higher on the other ones. I switched over to the white car. And right now we've got one unit that 602 has roughly been close to 80,000. And it's one of the newer models. And 603 is getting probably close to 70, over 70,000 now. And but those are, you know, the newer models, the two newer cars we have. Black car's got about getting close to 90 on it.
Because Art, at one time, they talked about all of our vehicles across the board that we needed to start to where you have, like, you need to buy two new police cars this time, and 2 years from now you buy two more, and start to where you have better vehicles all the time.
We're leaving too, bro.
Yeah, that's what when we talked to Art about that stuff and those kind of things that, you know, we were trying to prepare for, but just haven't been able to. But yeah, that, you know, if we could rotate them in and out every so often, that would be great. You know, if something happens that we could increase our fleet, if we go through a lease program or something and get some of the guys that live closer take-home cars, give them some incentives, can't give them any money. Just little things like that that we could think about doing to, you know, to help our situation. You know, invest in our police officers because, you know, it's hard to be a small department, low-paying department, and have to retrain people all the time and send people to the academy all the time, not knowing whether they want to stay. And then, you know, we invest all this money and time, and we're out from everything and gain nothing.
Did you get a protection order on?
I'll be with you in just a minute, Rand. Y'all still there?
Yeah, we're here.
We're listening.
Sorry about that. No problem. That's, you know, I just feel like we need to try to think about investing in our people and think about some things that we might be able to do to try to retain officers that want to be here. You know, we're losing approximately, you know, up to $20,000 each time somebody leaves. If we have to send somebody to the academy, you know, there's a lot of time invested and there's a lot of money invested in those people. I think it would be cost-saving to try to retain people and having to spend a lot of money on people and then they turn around and leave us in a short period of time. I don't want to become a training facility, something that we've sort of been doing here like for other departments.
Well, I'm going to think you'll need to sit with the town manager and figure out what you think and what he thinks and then bring us a proposal back to look at.
Okay. Well, that's what I was asking for, and I appreciate that. If you all agree to that, maybe, you know, I'm not trying to break the bank. And I know the town can only do so much, and I understand that.
Let me ask you a question, I mean, because I'm kind of hogging what direction you're wanting to go here. You say that you're losing a officer and you're wanting to increase pay. Are you wanting to not replace that officer? Or are you wanting to do both?
Both.
Okay, well you probably need to come up with a decision as to which of the two you would prefer doing, because I mean, in my opinion, we can't afford to do both, and then still look at buying new police cars also. I mean, we're just right now starting to see our head above water for an extended period of time. We still have the restraints with public works vehicles, even though we're starting to get those things, you know, replaced, but they're being replaced with vehicles with over 100,000 miles. You know, we can't go start spending a whole lot of money here, guys, that we don't have. Plus, we still got the pandemic issue with all the water issue, you know, water payments not coming in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you know, we're not out of the woods yet from where, you know, the hole was dug.
I understand that. And, you know, I'm not talking large amounts of money. I'm just talking about, you know, if we can fit it into the budget and do some little things here to, you know, to let these guys know, you know, we'll do everything we can to try to keep you. And to try to discourage them from, you know, give them a little hope here that there's some light at the end of the tunnel kind of ordeal. And, you know, it's been, you know, a long time since anybody's had a raise as far as that goes. But, you know, it's just we're probably the lowest paid department, and it's hard to compete with other departments. And, you know, we're losing lots of money when we lose people. We're losing... especially, you know, we're not going to have anybody from another department leave another department to come here that's trained and certified to take a big
pay increase when, you know, they're probably making $15, $16 an hour. You know, we're going to have to pick somebody up off the street and send them to the academy, which is going to cost, you know, $15,000 to $20,000, and then hopefully, you know, they'll work out their contract and stay. And then if they leave, hopefully they'll agree to pay it back. And if not, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that we invest a lot of training and a lot of time with these people that, you know, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do.
Well, you know, Scott, one other thing here, too, that you, we all need to take into consideration is that, you know, we do have a new administration in Washington. And with that new administration, I think that, you know, was there not an executive order signed the other day that's going to, and I don't even know the time period on this, take minimum wage up to $15 an hour, which is going to really affect the ability for the town of Coburn to, you know, meet their needs.
Right. I understand that. I'm not asking for every option to make $15 an hour. That would be great.
We may not have the choice. We may not have the choice. I mean, if their minimum wage is $15 an hour, we got to pay it. But then that goes back to not only the police department, it goes to you know, town hall employees, it goes to our public works employees, and that's going to be a huge chunk of change.
Starting in May,
it's your department too.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of restructuring going on everywhere in every place. In May, as far as I know, minimum wage goes to $11 an hour in May.
$9.50.
And then there's another increase, and then $15 an hour by the year 2023, if I'm not mistaken.
I've not seen the time frame on this.
Yeah, I'm thinking 2023 is federal.
I'm trying to do a quick Google search while we're talking.
I've got it here if you want me to tell you. January or May the 1st, I mean, it's going to be $9.50. And then effective January the 1st of 2022, it's going to be $11. Effective January of 23, $12. January of 25, $13.50. And January the 26th, $15.
Is that federal?
This is
state code.
State code, yeah.
Hey, what's the guidelines under the federal? I mean, what's the timeline on that? Do you know?
Last I heard, they're having to go through whatever steps it is that the president and the Congress has to do. But to my understanding, what he's working on is for federal employees only, which includes, you know, the Senate and everybody else.
Okay, so do I have permission to me and Jimmy to sort of take a look at some things and maybe bring something to you next time?
I mean, talking's not going to hurt anything, guys.
I'm not looking at anything drastic. I mean, I understand it's a two-sided coin, and, you know, and I understand that. I just want to try to boost some morale and try to keep some people. That's all I want to do.
But we're talking about for 21-22 budget year, correct?
Yeah, the one coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on this subject right now, guys?
I think any raises that are given should be across the board, not in particular department.
I'm not against the other departments getting raises too, but I'm just trying to bring the police department up where I feel like it should be. You know, as far as competitive and giving some round to these guys who have to go to the academy and trying to save money essentially for the town in the long run.
I mean, I'm not trying to be greedy here. I'm just trying to get something established to where we can give some people some motivation to stay and not, you know, go out and apply for these other departments that are paying a lot more money. You're talking about a $5 difference between, you know, what some of these guys make and what some of these other departments can pay them. You know, if we can work it in our budget and not break the bank, I feel like it's, you know, something we should take a good hard look at and try to do.
We'll sit down and talk, Scott.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. Anything else? Any additional questions for Chief Brooks? Okay, you get off fairly easy from that. Next item on the agenda is the fire department. Is Chief Hawkins with us? Or anyone from the fire department?
There's not. I've not received anything from him for tonight's meeting.
Okay. Next item is the attorney report, Mr. Sturgill.
Okay. All I've got for tonight is the lease agreement with the changes that we discussed last time. With the free softball, Marcus Thornton, I've got that prepared. Change the initial lease term to December 31st. Also change the description of the premises, and would need, I guess, more specifics in order to add in as an attached Exhibit A. I don't know if anybody's talked with him anymore about whether he's pursuing it or not, but at the same time, I wanted to make sure that I got everything done on my end so it was ready to go before council and ready to go whenever you all decided to move forward.
Is that the way you took it, Devontae?
I'm sorry, what?
Marcus is waiting on us to give him the go-ahead.
Yes, and we discussed that we would have everything ready to vote on it at the next meeting in February.
Right. So I read over everything in the new lease agreement. The only thing, we'll just need to change the date to February, whatever the meeting is. And
okay.
Get the appendage fixed, the map from the GIS and highlight it, I guess, and describe it and attach that, and then I think we would be ready to vote on it so that he can go ahead
right.
And get started.
Also, let everybody know, I talked to him yesterday, or Friday, and he's asking if we could just go ahead and start clearing the top brush up until next meeting to get a vote for the lease. And also, he may have another request for funding as well that might help with this project. And also, I got him in contact with Natalie Chapman up at Wise County with the whatever her job title is, for additional possible funding from there. And I know they talked, so far it seems kind of positive, but I've not heard nothing since Friday on it.
And then somewhere along the line, the zoning on that, does he apply for the zoning change?
See, I don't think he'll need one. It's for the road itself, but that doesn't include our property. The road is our thing was R2, which is residential and agricultural, I think it is. But Wise County's zoning has nothing to do with the property in which we sit on.
Well, I think that looks good, and just get that the map added to it and change the date and put it on the agenda, and we'll be ready.
Perfect. All right, we'll do it.
And Will, I can get you the map that he sent up to Natalie to add that on there if you wish.
Yeah, I think that would be good. And then, you know, as far as whether he needs official approval for the lease before he can begin work, or whether he can go ahead and clear brush or whatever, I think that's ultimately, you know, a council decision, but, you know, how you want to proceed. I will say that the town of Coburn is an additional insured. So if there was an accident on the premises while that's occurring, it would fall under his liability insurance policy. However you all want to proceed as far as that's perfectly fine with me.
So if he went ahead the next 2 weeks and somebody got hurt, his freeze insurance would still be covering that.
That would be my understanding based on the, because he had a general liability policy, which typically would cover any sort of, you know, twisting ankles or, you know, whatever happened as far as clearing that. But the answer is yes.
Okay.
At the end of the day, whether there's a formal lease or not, what's ultimately going to cover the town of Coburn under that is the insurance policy, the liability policy, and he did supply that, and it showed the town of Coburn as additional insured.
So
if Adam said that, guys, I don't see any reason he can't do it.
Yeah, no problem with it.
Okay, I'll get in touch with him and let him know then.
All right.
Okay. Anything else for Mr. Sturgill? Okay, hearing nothing, any additional questions for Mr. Sturgill? Okay. Jimmy, you said we had a reason to go into closed session under what?
Contracts.
Hey, that would be what, Will? 8?
Yeah, it'd be under A8, specific legal matters pertaining to contracts with the town of Coburn.
Scott, are you still here?
I am. I had y'all move. Radio was going off here.
Okay, I'm going to add personnel to this also, so we can talk about what you were talking about in the open session.
Okay.
So, personnel is what, Will? Which number? Try and look at it myself. That would be under 1, would it not? A1?
Yeah, it's 2.237.1181. Personnel.
Okay. Okay. I make a motion that we enter into closed session pursuant to Virginia Code 2.2-3711A1 to discuss personnel of the town of Coburn under A8 to discuss specific legal matters pertaining to contracts. That's in form of the motion.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hey, all those in favor of entering into closed session, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We're in closed session. Okay.